Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us and our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 71 is once again being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So, before we get into the probably COVID-19 domination of our podcast, we are once again broadcasting, looking at your face from hot, sunny Lawrenceville, Georgia, with sunburnt Angel Martin co-hosting
the podcast. Is it actually a burn, you think? Or is it just like sunglass marks?
So your nose is brown and freckled like I've never seen it, and then your forehead is red, so it's sunburnt. Did you go to the pool today?
No, yesterday.
Yesterday. Were you there all day?
For about 6 hours or so.
Okay. Well, that would do it.
That would explain it.
Yeah, that would explain it. So I feel a little unprepared for the podcast, but I figure we'll find things to talk about.
Because once again, we're having technical difficulties.
We are.
But what would 2020 be without technology and problems and you name it, 2020's got it.
Can you remember, that's what everybody is saying. And so I know March, and I know really at the end of 2019, we started talking about this whole coronavirus thing. But
in China,
else?
We started talking about it in China. Mm-hmm. And remember, they were like lulling the dogs, and they were going to have this mass execution and like all this other things that we talked about.
Talked about the wet market, like, where supposedly
December, January. It didn't really actually, I guess, in full swing affect us here at the practice until March 20th. That is the date, like, will forever be forever ingrained in my brain.
Was there anything that happened in January, February of 2020?
Not that I recall that affected us so much here, right?
But everybody's just talking about how crazy 2020 is. But it's been the last 4 months for sure.
But you started hearing about the princess or the diamond or whatever that cruise ship was that had all these sick people on it. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm a bit naive, but I didn't relate it to like this whole corona thing that was going on until later after it had happened. But no, 2020 now, I mean, people are just waiting for the apocalypse, right? Like, there are these memes and these jokes about whatever. I think it's just truly because, like, 2020 has ruined, you know, or essentially ruined a lot of things for people, right? Like, we had a big family cruise planned for my sister's 21st birthday, my 35th birthday. I know people were planning to get married, who've canceled their weddings. And so that, I think, is where a lot of this is coming from. It's not necessarily like that the sun never rises kind of thing.
But just crazy times that we're living in.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. And then anything odd that happens, we can definitely just chalk it up to it, you know? And I think that's what happens more often than not.
So we printed out and read through some stories, and I'm going to agree, there weren't a whole lot of interesting stories, but the interesting thing, what was the horse viral disease?
I can find it. I feel like some of the things that you pulled up, we had talked about historically.
Vesicular stomatitis is spreading in 7 states amongst horses. And so while I'm not particularly interested in vesicular stomatitis, I'm interested that it's a viral disease.
Sure.
And so I was talking with my mom this morning, and I guess I kind of roller coaster where I am with this whole COVID thing. I'm scared one day, I'm not worried at all the next, I'm somewhere in between, you know, on day 3, and then it just kind of starts all over again. So again, I'm super hopeful that the death threat of it and all the fear that we've been dealing with is not as real as the media is making it out to be.
Sure.
And or the government entities, whoever they are. But I've said from day one, we can't run from this viral disease. We can't hide from it. It is going to spread. We can slow it down as we did in the in the shelter in place days, but it's not going to go away. And so, you know, vesicular stomatitis, bubonic plague, I think we talked about that in a squirrel in Colorado last week.
Yeah, we talked about the hemorrhagic rabbit disease that's happening. And I don't know if it's because, like, I get all these ads on Facebook, but I don't know if it's because of the groups and things that I'm associated in, or if, like, everyone's getting these ads. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, point.
But essentially, they call it rabbit Ebola, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
But what was your point about the
virus? My point is these viral diseases are never going to completely be eradicated or go away, nor is there going to be 100% vaccine. Sorry, people, but there's not, especially with the coronavirus. And this coronavirus that we're dealing with now continues, in my opinion, to act exactly the way feline infectious peritonitis, the coronavirus in cats, does. It's the body's overreaction to the viral infection that causes granulomatous disease, and that's what is causing the major problem. So Dr. Fauci, that's how you say his name, right?
Fauci. Mm-hmm.
He's not in good terms with with Donald Trump these days. But anyway, Dr. Fauci, if you need to consult me, just you can reach me at mygavet.com. Dr. Miller at mygavet.com.
No, but so what's interesting about Dr. Fauci is he's been through a lot. Like, I didn't know who he was, but this is now his sixth president that he's been, like, the head of medical advice
on. Dr. Birx were on the front lines with the HIV.
Which was in the 80s.
Epidemic, right? Both right. of them, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, African swine flu.
Was it African swine back in the day? No, it's just, I think we just knew it as the plain old swine flu.
Swine flu, okay.
That was Obama, right? Before that, we had like West Nile virus, Ebola, yeah. We had all these other things, yeah. But nonetheless, like, again, I've never heard his name. So I think, again, that's like the difference in how we're treating or reacting to coronavirus.
Yeah. He, Donald Trump, Dr. Birx, the Attorney
Corona
General.
Corona Task Force.
They were on a daily basis, and we were watching. We watched the first 21 days, I think.
I think we had this conversation originally, and maybe it's my ignorance, and, you know, everyone who's listening, forgive me for that, but we had this conversation that I did not know the Surgeon General was, I guess, a young black man.
Okay, what's that got to do with anything?
Again, it's just the things that, like, he's been the Surgeon General for whatever his term is, but yeah. I didn't know who he was. I couldn't put a face or a name to it.
Right.
And, like, then suddenly with Corona, he's all over the news for months.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just almost like we have too much information to siphon through.
Completely agree.
And so
you and I were talking earlier in the week, I guess, about, what do you believe? What do you not believe? If this were not in front of us, how would we react? Would we be better off not even really knowing everything that supposedly is going on?
I
and probably the answer is yes.
Yeah, I think I went to that old saying. I asked you, have you ever heard the term ignorance is bliss?
Yeah.
And I think this might be one of those cases where I feel like we have too much information, and so we're fearful, versus if we had smaller pieces of information, we would be a bit ignorant about it, and then we wouldn't be so reactive like we are.
Yeah, for sure.
But so, nonetheless,
on personal notes, you and I went and had antibody tests done late this past week.
Mm-hmm.
I made you do it because I wanted to know kind of what your status was, but I
basically
had just some, I don't know, mild flu-like symptoms over the last 3 or 4 months. They would come and go, and I'd get better, and a little bit of bronchitis, and I guess never really thought I had coronavirus, but kind of hoped I did, and we both got our test results back today, and they were no antibody detected. So, does that mean we didn't get exposed? Probably. Does that mean we got exposed early and didn't mount a very big immune response, and therefore produced very few antibodies? Hopefully, but who knows?
Yeah, so, we don't know.
Tomorrow will be a new day. So you remember the study on golden retrievers about neutering them at a young age?
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't it like just 103 dogs or something to that effect?
It was
effect?
A few years ago, but yeah, I do remember that.
And those dogs were more prone to get cancer, in particular lymphoma, is what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And so a new kind of a 10-year study was just published within the past week that's that the 10-year retrospective study, rather, that looked at a bunch of different breeds of dogs. And if you neuter them, which, you know, for those of you who don't know, neutering means to surgically alter so that they cannot, to surgically sterilize, I guess. So you traditionally neuter relates to castrating a male, but neutering is also appropriate for a female. I thought we talked about this a year ago.
I think so, yeah.
But we say spay, not spayed, not diamond, not club, not hearts, but we spay, S-P-A-Y, which is an ovariohysterectomy. So this study looked at, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it was like 26 popular breeds. And they just really like analyzed the data. It's this huge study and it's almost overwhelming because all I wanted to know was like, okay, if I want a border collie, when should I spay or neuter it?
Right.
And it had all these statistics.
So it didn't look at just males because I feel like historically the one that we looked at was just males. So this is male and female.
Yeah.
And they looked at multiple breeds. And did you look at, I guess, kind of the Cliffs version of the...
Well, that's what I was trying to, but there were so many tables and appendices that when I got to like page 9, again, I kind of looked at the border collie and it was really no statistical significance on whether you spayed them early or not or neutered them. But they're looking at all these different diseases. So it's quite the complex study.
Yeah.
But I guess the one thing it did not prove that any time you spay or neuter at a young age, it's going to cause major health problems. It disproved that. So that was pushed out in Frontiers in Veterinary Science.
Well, I do feel
And it was a study done by UC Davis.
I do feel like in my, gosh, what has it been, like short 13 years in my veterinary career, very strong out of the gate. Like you must spay and neuter at a young age, right? It was roughly 6 to 8 months when they become sexually mature. And then there was a period of time like, oh no, we've got to do all this pediatric stuff. We've got to control the population before they're sexually mature. So we started doing things at shelters when they were just a couple of pounds. If they were 2 pounds or heavier, they could go ahead and be altered.
And that was to sterilize them before they were adopted, right?
Right.
Get them in, get them out, and make sure we're not adopting out pets that are going to be reproductive.
Certainly.
In the future.
And I feel like still in a lot of shelter medicine, that's still the thought process. But I do feel like as an industry, we've completely changed from altering at a sexually mature age to altering at least a year old.
Neutering is what you mean by when you say altering.
Altering,
I mean,
yes.
I know what you mean. But.
Neutering or spaying, however you want to determine it. But, I mean, probably for the last 5 years, I've heard that for large breed dogs or male dogs, don't neuter them. Or you should let your female have one heat cycle. So hopefully this article that you're talking about or the study will somewhat put some concrete thought down to that or evidence to what people have been just doing on opinion.
Sure. We've seen a few rabbits of late in the practice.
We have.
And one of the stories was that rabbits are not no-fuss pets.
Which is interesting because a lot of people think that, right?
Yeah.
Just put it in a pen and move on with your life.
Yeah. So, I mean, we don't see a ton. And we would consider a rabbit an exotic pet or
sure.
a pocket pet. Not a typical small animal companion. But, we've been seeing quite a few rabbits that we've been neutering and spaying. Nail trims, trimming their teeth when they get long, and then I think ear mites and ear infections are the main things that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Is it snuffles?
They do get snuffles.
Upper respiratory infection.
Mm-hmm.
So, fortunately, we're not seeing a lot of backyard chickens around here. I'm seeing a lot of chicken coops. In fact, yesterday I was driving along a major highway and somebody had this fancy like red, white, and blue chicken coop on a trailer out by the road trying to sell it.
And I
have no idea what it cost, but it did catch my eye, obviously. So, stories?
But to your points with rabbits, the point being that they're no-fuss pets, it's not the fact that you can just put them in a pen outside.
Yeah.
You have to be cautious of prey, right? Or what am I trying to say? Things trying to eat them.
Predators.
Or if they live inside, then obviously you're going to have to clean up after them.
Yep.
Some people say that their rabbits are litter trained, but I think most of them go in like pens or like grated. What am I trying to say?
And the droppings just drop through.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, wire grates.
And then they have pretty specialized diets. So it's not like you can just pick up a rabbit and
go to the store and buy rabbit food.
I mean, you can.
So, all right, did you learn something? Let's talk about their diet.
Okay.
So.
Gosh, your face is scaring me.
I'm smirking because they eat hay.
Oh, gosh.
What kind of hay do rabbits typically eat, Angel?
Timothy.
And what do they can eat, but what was not brought into the clinic?
Alfalfa.
Okay. Do you know who raises alfalfa?
Brother Alan.
Yes. So, I didn't show you the difference. I tried to show you the difference.
Basically, a rabbit was brought in for a procedure, and typically they need to get up and eat as soon as their procedure is complete. So we ask the owners to bring in bedding and a cage and a crate and then some hay or food for them to eat as soon as they wake up that they can eat. And so, unfortunately, this rabbit went home without its bag of hay. Yeah. And so I made the joke. I was like, they'll be okay. It's just $1 worth of alfalfa. And Dr. Miller was like, that rabbit's eating alfalfa? Oh, man, that ain't alfalfa, Angel. That ain't alfalfa.
I'll talk that way, by the way.
Yes, you do. So literally had to go get the bag, pull it out, show me the difference in the leaves and the stalk or the stem thing.
This is Timothy Hay, obviously.
Yeah. So I have no idea.
Exactly.
I have never had a hay-eating animal, first of all, rabbit, guinea pig, horse,
okay, so
cow,
let's pause right
pig,
there.
Any of those things.
Here's a big difference. Small animal, large animal, production animals, and let's just say animals that eat hay. Would you agree that dogs and cats do not eat hay, typically?
No, they do not eat hay.
Do horses eat hay?
Horses can.
Cows?
Yes.
Sheep?
I don't think so. Do they eat hay?
Yeah, they do.
I would think they
so
eat like
is
little
hay,
pellets. Like
here,
the little...
Here's a very big fundamental difference.
Isn't hay just dried grass? I know that sounds very naive.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's a good way to say. Coastal Bermuda grass is hay. Alfalfa, wheat, oats, Timothy grass. So, is hay food or feed?
Hay is feed.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but it is feed.
So, that's the difference that we're talking about. Dog food, not dog feed. Cat food, not cat food, not cat feed. Horse feed, cow feed, sheep feed.
When you say
feed,
it just means plural to me versus food. Like, I have one dog, I'm going to go buy dog food. Versus I've got
a... There's no such thing as horse food or cow food or pig food.
That's not true. If I have one horse, I'm going to go up to Tractor Supply and I'm going to buy him some horse food.
Okay, well, I thought you knew the difference between alfalfa and Timothy.
And I clearly did not.
As well, you did not. So you're wrong on this topic as well.
I'm going to have to go out to Brother Alan's farm.
Yeah, that would be a sight.
Oh, God.
Okay, so one of the stories is about backlog in the poison control center, if you will. Not really a backlog, but how busy they are.
How busy they are.
One of the stories in the news this past week was dog groomers in New York, particularly in Manhattan, how they are so backlogged because they have not
super
been able
busy
to groom.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, we have been very fortunate here in Georgia to be deemed essential service. And part of that is the grooming and caring of pets in many different ways. And so you found the story, which I saw it somewhere as well, about the poison control. So
yeah.
I'll let you expound on that.
So I thought it was super interesting, right? Because we've talked about it here about how busy our phone call volume is. I mean, people just call. And essentially some of that is because we don't allow the clients into the building, right? So now we have a call when they want to make their appointment, a call when they're here for their appointment, a call when they're ready to check out, you know, so, you know, one client is essentially calling, you know, one to three to five times now. So our call volume is crazy. But I thought that it was interesting that the ASPCA, the pet poison hotline, their call volume is up 43% compared to last year.
Yeah.
And I was reading through the article and they said basically they usually see like a spike in calls seasonally or things like that. So like spring cleaning. when you start getting all the disinfectants out, they'll see a little bit of a spike. Typically, they get a lot of calls for pets who've eaten human medicines, right? So like, oh gosh,
I didn't know what you're going to say, human rrr.
No, human medicines. Like, oh gosh, my dog got into my blood pressure pills, yeah, or my dog ate, you know, all my Xanax, or my dog did this or dog did that. But I was reading through here and I thought it was interesting that one of the calls that they talk about is a lady early in the pandemic who called because she gave her dog alcohol poisoning incidentally. So the lady went on a walk with the dog, came back in, sanitized her hands, and thought, huh, I should take this hand sanitizer and sanitize my dog's paws. Mm-hmm. The dog then, you know, inadvertently licked it all off, developed some symptoms. It was a small Yorkie, I believe. And then the dog developed alcohol poisoning.
Huh.
And so they called the helpline. There's no real discussion here whether it was the owner or the veterinarian. So I would imagine a combination of the two, or obviously the owner took the dog to the vet and someone called. But after talking to a toxicologist, they were able to recover the dog and he's doing fine. But I just thought it was super interesting and about how if you don't know, you don't know. I mean, we say that all the time.
Well, two interesting points to me on that. One is what I read in the article was, I think 2/3 of the calls coming in are actually veterinary referred.
Yes.
Like people are calling the vet clinic and they are saying, we are too busy to see your pet right now. You need to call poison control. So I thought that was very interesting because everybody in our industry that I have talked to, we are super busy.
Yes.
And I mean, at the end of the day, we all feel it, you know, from the top down.
But I think it's, to your point, I think it's for some of those things that we don't know, right? So like if someone calls and says, my dog ate chocolate, raisins, grapes, like all those things, I think most of our staff and our veterinarians are going to be trained well enough to say, hey, your pet needs to come in and we can take care of that. But it's the, I used Clorox wipes and my cat walked across the counter and licked its feet and now it's throwing up. Those things, like that takes an investigation, I guess, if you will, some research from our veterinarians or the lay staff here.
Yeah.
Lots of time, a phone call probably to the helpline anyways. And so I think a lot of people are just kind of skipping that middle section and advising the owner, just call the helpline.
Yeah, and see what they recommend. And if they recommend you come to see us, then right, come see us. That reminds me of the people drinking bleach early on in this pandemic to try to kill coronavirus.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You know, I mean, the lady was trying to do the right thing. And we actually even talked about, okay, pets coming in. So we were in full PPE when this started. We do leash changes. We were doing everything we can. And we talked about, gosh, do we need to mist them down with something, wash all these pets? And gosh, I'm glad we decided not to do that.
Yeah.
That would be so labor intensive to give every pet a bath coming in before we touch it. And
right.
I mean, you talk about fear, that would be the definition of fear.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely know that there are clinics that did that. On the Facebook group that I'm in, there are definitely technicians that shared that they were, you know, spraying damp cloths and wiping pets down with, I'm assuming, an alcohol-based disinfectant.
Okay. Pause.
Yes.
What's your number one, number one thing during this whole pandemic that you just shake your head and you just can't believe this is happening, that somebody does that's silly or you don't agree with, because they don't understand how virology and immunology and all this stuff works? Do you understand what I'm asking?
I think so, but I'm going to tell you that my number one thing that I shake my head at, and it has nothing to do with understanding virology or immunology or how viruses are work or transmitted.
Disease,
it's the people wearing gloves
that was my number two.
Change gloves. I mean, I have seen a guy in line at the grocery store with gloves on eating out of a chip bag that he was about to purchase with the same gloves on that he shopped in the entire store.
And they probably didn't fit. They were all wrinkled up, probably.
Yeah. And so the thing is like, it just kills me. Phones, right? Like we've talked about how dirty your cell phone is. These people will wear gloves, but yet they're all over their phones.
They don't change their gloves all day.
So gloves are not meant, and we had this kind of like digress digression, I guess, early on in the pandemic, but gloves are essentially one-time use. You put your gloves on to do one thing, and then you change them before you do something else. And so that would be my number one shake my head.
Yeah. Mine, since you asked, is seeing a person, and it's, I was going to say two people, but it's really just one person in their enclosed car going down the road with their mask on. Two, you know, I was going to say that, but no, maybe they're protecting themselves from each other.
Yeah, it's the single person.
But
so I have a...
Well, and then number three, gloves was number two. Number three are the people at Costco and soon to be Walmart that require masks that are walking around with their mask on their chins.
Under their nose, yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing about the car, I can somewhat understand it, right? If you're going to put your mask on at home when you leave, put it on, drive to the store. You don't have to touch your face more than once. You put it on before you leave with clean hands. You get out at the store. You have your mask on. You take it off when you get home, whatever. That makes perfect sense to me.
Maybe.
There is also, one second, there's also this little button in your car. Have you ever seen it that like lets outside air in versus recirculating the air?
Yeah.
So I feel like some people think that, you know, basically the air is contaminated, and maybe they're right and I'm wrong. But I think also if they allow the fresh air to come into their car, that potentially they could be exposed that way.
Airflow is important. Although I think last week or the week before, now there are people somewhere suggesting that coronavirus is not just direct person-to-person contact, that it can stay in the air for extended periods of time, but I don't see how that's possible. That just does not make sense.
I think they're trying to make sense of like how people are getting it, that potentially
the whole 15-minute thing. Like if you're in the presence of if you're within 6 feet of someone who tested positive and or showing clinical signs for 15 minutes, you've got a problem. If you're only there 14 minutes, you're good.
Yeah. So, I think people are just trying to make sense of some of these things.
Nobody knows. Okay. So we're not going to talk about healthy pet, happy life.
We're not?
Well, no. We had nothing to talk about, and we're 27 minutes into this now. We need to start putting that in. We did not have a word of the week. Do you have a word of the week? Anything you can think of just all of a sudden?
No.
Me either. Let's skip word of the week this week.
Okay.
Are you good with that?
I'm good with it.
There was one other thing I was going to interject here, and it completely slipped my mind. I guess we won't.
Nothing to do with snakes and snake bites.
No.
Okay.
No.
I feel like we talked about the snake bites last time.
Yeah, copperheads, and we're really kind of digging deep within to try to figure out if we need to start using anti-venom on some of these bites. And so that's a kind of an internal discussion that needs to continue to happen. I don't know. I forget. So. Okay.
Well, make sure, guys, to check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Please subscribe to this podcast wherever you're getting it from. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Dr. Fauci, my email address once again is drmiller@mygavet.com. Bye, guys.
Bye.